Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Before we get into the word this evening, I just wanted to share with you, that if you're a part of Grace Life, and you're, or even if you're just our partners are people around the country, some around the world who believe in what we're doing, and so much so that they financially support what we're doing. And that's really awesome. That's really encouraging. Since we started the ministry, we've had people from all over Australia, America, I don't even remember where, but all sorts of places where they've just sent money because they want to help make this a success. And them and you, as members of the church, as family, you're part of this. And I just wanted to share, over the past couple of weeks, maybe two or three, we've had around five salvations or more, one being in Albania, which is really exciting. And, Albania is where we have a church plant, where they're busy establishing a church, and it's a really closed area. They don't understand, as I said, I think last week, they don't have a concept of church. And so, they don't know even about coming together and, fellowshipping and receiving the word and singing together. They don't understand all of those things. And so they're really, it's the first country in the world to have an atheist, constitution. Where it's a completely secular state, like, period. So that's quite something. So you're part of those five salvations, which is awesome. We've had awesome testimonies of healing and all of that, around nine baptisms in water, three of which were in Albania, and there's still another two coming this week, which is really exciting. And then through the series, we've had countless people baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and people even via the devotional, the daily devotional, which if you're not part of it, you can sign up at the resource table. People have been testifying all over the place just of how that's blessed them. And you're part of all of these testimonies. We've had people, it's being set free from bondages to drugs and alcohol and things like that. And it's just really awesome just to see the fruit of what's happening in people's lives. And it's because of your partnership, you being part of it, and God's just working great things amongst us. Isn't that awesome? So I thought you'd be a little bit more excited about that. I thought that would get you a little bit excited before we get into the word. But it's really a blessing to see things like that. I don't think we've had as many as nine baptisms in such a short space of time. We've had countless baptisms, but, we haven't had that many in such a concentrated period of time. So it's really exciting and trust that it encourages you that you're part of something which is making a difference in people's lives. It's an eternal difference. It's not just sending them on a holiday. Amen? Holidays are great, but this is something significant. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your presence. Thank you that as we're digging into your word this evening, every single one of us is going to leave inspired, encouraged, refreshed, and blessed. Because your word is here to build us up and encourage us and help us to rise up to be all that you've created us to be. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So we've been busy with a series called Rain in Life. And this evening we're on part 14, which is of the three-week series. Originally it was supposed to be 3 weeks. We're on week 14. So that's quite something. But we're finishing off the armor. We're not finishing off the series. We're finishing off the armor this evening. And we're looking at the last piece of armor which God has given us. Okay, so we've looked at all the different pieces of armor, and we'll go through it in a minute. But the point is that God's given us keys, and He's given us stuff. I don't know what else to say to be able to reign in life. He set you up to be able to reign in life, and as we looked in Romans 5 verse 17, we reign in life through Jesus Christ. So you've got to start off with the relationship with God. If you want to reign over bondages, if you want to reign over difficult circumstances, negative emotions, whatever the case is, you've got to have a relationship with God, because that's where reigning in life starts. And then we do it through Jesus. We don't do it on our own steam. Okay, so you can't do it without Jesus. But the armor really just gives us a great picture, or it's symbolic of some things which are significant foundations to establish us in relationship with God and to establish us in living in victory. And I trust that you've been blessed by it. I have. The first scripture up there is from Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look from 10 to 13. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And that's the first key to reigning in life, is being strong in God's power, being strong in the Lord, and not in your own power. We can't reign in life if we're strong in our ability and our strength and our personal goodness. And, you know, it's got to be God. It's got to be our reliance on Him and His power in us and through us. Okay, and then it says, put on the whole armor of God. It's His armor, and we've got to use all of it. Can't just use some of it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle in this life isn't against the person sitting next to you. There's something at work behind them. There's a demonic influence. We're against the root, not the fruit. Okay? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. If you want to live in victory, if you want to be able to stand, you've got to take up the whole armor of God. You've got to take it up, meaning you've got to use it. You can't just have it. If you're a believer, you've got all the armor of God. You're not trying to get it. You've got it. Tell your neighbor you've got it. Okay, so you've got the armor of God. You've just got to take it up. Okay? And it says you've got to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you want to stand, if all hell breaks loose and you want to be able to stand firm and stand strong, then you've got to take up the whole armor of God. You've got to use the whole armor of God. You've got to take advantage of it and make use of it. It's yours. Okay? You'll only experience true success in life if you're using the whole armor of God. It's His armor, and you need to make use of it. So every piece of armor reveals something, okay? And the essence of it for me, as I was just meditating on this, I realized that all the armor reveals that we've got to have a dependency upon God, okay? It's revealing a need for us to rely completely on God, not on our own strength and on our own steam. Let me just pause there and say, if you're on your U version, you can search for the event there, Grace Life, and you'll be able to get all the scriptures on your phone. But that aside, all the armor represents something significant which we've got to take note of, because it's foundational for our Christian lives. And then if we think about it, it reveals how we need to be dependent on God. Okay, so every piece reveals that. The helmet of salvation. You didn't do anything to be saved but believe, right? You've got the helmet of salvation on. It's His salvation. He saved you. You couldn't save yourself. His salvation. Okay? So it reveals a dependency on God. We're saved by grace. Yes, by through faith. We put faith in it, but it's His grace which has saved you. The breastplate of His righteousness. It's not your righteousness which protects your heart. It's His righteousness which protects your heart. And when we have confidence in His righteousness, it sets us up for victory. Okay? The shoes of the gospel of His peace. Okay? The belt of His truth. The shield of faith, or our dependency and trust in Him, not in ourselves. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, His Word. It all points to our dependency and reliance on Him. Like John 15 verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, true success and real fruit starts with relationship with God, starts with relationship with Jesus, and it flows out of that. If you think about a vine, we live in Stellenbosch. Okay, some of us are just visiting for the day. Welcome, Durbanville, Somerset West, Gordons Bay, wherever you're from. But the point is Cape Town. Wherever you're from, you're here now, and you've seen vineyards. Okay, and if you look at the vineyard, there's a vine and there's a branch. Where does the what do you call it? The grapes sit. The branches. Okay? The grapes are on the branches. If you take the branch off, does the branch produce grapes? No. It's got to have the life from the vine to be able to produce fruit. Does the vine have any fruit on it? It's not a trick question. No. Okay? That just shows us that we produce the fruit of Christ. But we've got to stay connected into the vine if we want His life to flow in us and through us to produce that fruit. And so sometimes, you know, if you're saved, you're connected to Christ. But you're just maybe not letting that, you're not relaxing and just letting that life and that power flow through you. So you've got to allow it to flow through you. It's right there. You know, you've got the power. Romans 8, I'm going to go off track for a sec. Romans 8:11 says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's the hockey, don't worry. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That means that resurrection power is inside of you. You've got a problem with your liver. Resurrection power is right there. Right there. Whatever problem you've got in your body or in your life, you've got resurrection power inside of you. You just need to let it flow. Sometimes most times we're just not tapping into that power. Okay, so we're going to look at the last piece of armor. You know, if you just read the Ephesians chapter 6 through the armor of God there, it's very easy to kind of miss this last piece of armor, which is extremely significant. The last piece of armor isn't something that you wear. It's prayer. Okay? I know that rhymed. It wasn't on purpose. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read 13 and 18. You're going to tweet it. Just hashtag me in or something. Just a joke. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so prayer is a significant part of our ability to reign in life. Okay? If you're thinking about it, you've got the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, you've got all the stuff on you, the armor on you, you've got the sword of the Spirit in your hand, and you've got the shield of faith, and you're a soldier, right? So now picture me dressed up like a soldier up front here. Where do I put prayer? It's not something you wear, as I said. It's something which is going on in your heart, your mind, and it's dealing with your commander in chief, Jesus. A soldier is no good without instruction. So prayer would be us obviously talking to God, but it's also God speaking to us and directing us. Okay, this is a vital part of receiving strategy, getting input and direction, encouragement. How often do we need encouragement for the fight? God wants to encourage you. He's the God of all comfort, Scripture says. He wants to encourage you to persevere, to press on, to fulfill your destiny. It's not easy to fulfill your destiny. You're going to need encouragement from God, which means you need a relationship with Him, which means that you need Him to be able to speak to you, which means you need to be listening. He's speaking to you. Most of us just don't listen. All we hear is the TV sets or something else, people around us. But, you know, we need to hear what God's saying to us. Okay, now if you look at that verse, I think it's really awesome. Most people's prayer life is about them, right? Anyone agree with me? No one, because you don't want to get exposed. It says praying always with all prayer. So you don't have to just pray in church on a Sunday or in combined life group on Thursday or in the mornings before you start your day. Prayer isn't something which we should just schedule. You should schedule it if that's what you want to do. But you shouldn't have just a special holy time when it's just your prayer time and the rest of the time you're just living, ignoring God. God is with you always. You need to walk with Him and let Him speak to you always. Look at it. Praying always. So if that little statement for me straight away says that many of us have misconceptions about prayer. We think that it's just kneeling at your bedside. It can include that. If you want to kneel, I'm not knocking that. Go for it. Let that outward expression be an outward expression of what's going on in your heart. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to raise your hands while you pray, raise your hands. If you want to shout, shout. If you want to do whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. But God's looking at your heart. Okay, praying always with all prayer. That, you know, always also just means that it's something which you need to do. It must be because God's with you and it's just conversational. It's not this weird thing that a lot of people kind of go through. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you know, it's like He's somewhere up there and you're down here and there's this huge gap between you. He's here. He's with you now. You can talk to Him. He's your Father. And supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That also shows you that you should be praying for all the saints. Maybe as the Spirit leads, that's fine. But don't just pray for you and your family. Pray for us. Pray for your leaders. That's what the Bible instructs. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the people in your life group. Pray for the people who sit next to you on a Sunday. As the Lord leads you, pray. Okay? But prayer is basically the connection you have to your commander in chief. Prayer is the connection you have to the person who wants to give you instruction to be able to make your life a success and lead you in the right direction, on the right path. It's how you receive encouragement, etc. The Bible shows us that there's different types of prayer. But you don't have to kind of know all the types of prayer. You really just need to know the purpose of prayer, I think, and then you'll figure it out as you go. So don't get too complicated in trying to figure out the different types of prayer and focusing on, now I'm praying a prayer of supplication, and then I'm going to pray a prayer of petition. And I don't think that matters so much. God's looking at your heart, so just deal with the situation that's coming your way. Okay, don't worry so much about what label it's got. Okay, essentially it's simply talking to God. Now, Christianity obviously is relationship with God. And so if it's relationship with God, that means it needs communication. Communication isn't just one way. In a relationship, it needs to be both ways. So I talk to God, He talks to me. I talk to God, He talks to me. I talk to God, I talk to God, I talk to God, I talk to... Most people have that, hey? I talk to God, I talk to God, I talk to... Actually, sorry. Most people, I moan to God, I moan to God, I moan to God. I gripe, I complain, I moan some more, I tell Him my shopping list. You know, all of that type of stuff. This is what I need, Lord. It's talking to God. We're going to get there. We're going to get there in a moment. So I'm running ahead here. But it's communication with God. It's impossible to live in victory and reign in life without communication with our Heavenly Father. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to share your heart with Him, and He wants to share His heart with you. Okay? It's a two-way thing. You've got to have relationship with Him. Okay? Just like all the other pieces of armor, prayer reveals a dependency upon God, which is vital. Okay? It reveals that you're depending on Him. Now, most people just pray when their back's up against the wall and everything's falling apart, right? All hell's breaking loose, let's pray. Things are going wrong, let's pray. There's a lack, let's pray. We need something, let's pray. God wants you to pray all the time, not just about when there's a negative situation, but even when things are going good, just pray and give Him thanks. Imagine your friends and your family only came to you just when they needed something. You'd avoid them. I'm not saying God's avoiding you. That's not why He's silent. You're just not listening. The point is that it needs to be more than just a shopping list. It needs to be more than just moaning. How many of you enjoy it when people just come and moan to you? It's the same people especially. Peter doesn't. But we're happy to listen. You know, we're happy to listen, but we want to help you as pastors get out of your situation. Amen. We're not just going to listen and listen and listen and listen. We're going to give you some advice. We're going to pray for you, help you get victory. So, your strength, your wisdom, your talent will only get you so far if you trust in yourself, and eventually you'll get tired, you'll burn out, you'll wear out. Prayer reveals a dependency. We need to trust in Him. It's helping you get your focus on Him. Okay? You know, through prayer, we can ask God for wisdom. We can ask God for things. We can give Him thanks. We can just talk about the sunrise and the sunset. You don't have to talk about something specific. He just wants to talk to you. He wants to listen to you. You can share your heart with Him. I mean, I remember having a relationship like this with God from a young age. And so, it was pretty cool. I used to sometimes just lie in my bed as a teenager and just talk to God about the future. I can't remember what I used to say, but I talk about, this is what I want to do with my life, or I want to make a difference, or I don't know what I'd say, but I'd say things like that. And I remember in church the one day, the guy who was preaching called me out in front of everyone, and he said, I can see a picture of you lying on your bed talking to God, just sharing your heart with Him, and He wants you to know that He loves it. That made a huge impression on me. He didn't know that I did. No one knew that I did that. You know, God saw that, and He was enjoying my time with Him. You know, I'm sure God enjoys your time, His time with you, even if it's griping and complaining, just because He loves you. But the point is let's make it more enjoyable for Him. Amen? So, prayer helps you realize that you have this connection with God. It helps you focus on Him, but it also helps you open up your heart to Him to be able to receive. Okay? Your heart, like what you focus on, your heart becomes sensitive towards. What you neglect in your life, what you neglect to focus on, your heart becomes hardened towards. So if you're focusing on God by talking to Him, praying to Him, speaking to Him, then your heart becomes sensitive to Him, and your heart opens up to be able to receive from Him. And that means it's easier to receive when you need something even. Okay? Prayer helps you sensitize your heart towards God. It just helps you prepare your heart to receive, even. You know, you might not even be believing for something specific, but if your heart's just sensitive towards God, you'll end up receiving stuff. We're going to look at an example of that in a moment in Scripture where, you know, this guy was praying, Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him specific instructions on what to do. And he didn't even think that he had to do something. He was just sensitive towards God. His heart was focused on God. But let's look at what prayer isn't first. Because a lot of us are probably put off by prayer because there's some weird stuff going on out there. I remember being at a prayer meeting once, and the person up front was really just having a great performance. You know, like the volume was up there, like screaming and jumping up and down and sweating, and the veins are like popping out of their neck. And if that's what's in your heart and you're expressing what's in your heart, go for it. God doesn't mind. The people around you think you're nuts, but, you know, that's fine. But if I just want to pray, thank you, Father, that you're here and that you're awesome, that don't judge me for that because I'm not shouting like you. It doesn't matter. You know, it's the same with worship and singing. A lot of the time we're kind of like, you know, this place is dead because people aren't dancing. And you'll go to some churches and they'll be, you know, doing that thing with the arms and going around like this with people. And, you know, like, it doesn't make them more spiritual than us. You know, God's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the outward appearance. Man's looking at the outward appearance. And if you're in your heart, you want to dance, dance. I don't want to, so I don't want to. If I want to dance, I'll dance. If I want to sing, I'll sing. It's got to be from your heart, otherwise it's pointless anyway. The same thing with prayer. Pray from your heart. Don't have a little book and read prayers. That's not going to do you diddly squat. It's not going to help you at all. Okay, God wants your heart. He doesn't want you to just repeat the same thing every day. Okay? It needs to be heartfelt. Prayer isn't you trying to twist God's arm to try and get something. It's not you going, okay, Lord, imagine your child coming to you one day. Dad, you're such an awesome dad. You're the best dad in the whole world. Oh, you know, just I tell all my friends about how good you are and how much you love to bless me. Dad, I need... and then comes the request. Yeah, your dad might respond to that because he just loves you and you know how to butter him up. But prayer should be more than just twisting God's arm to try and get something. Okay? It's not your opportunity to inform poor, misinformed God of how bad your situation is. It's not your opportunity just to go through God... Life is just so terrible, and this is bad, and that's going on, and give thanks. The Bible says give thanks, so give thanks. Don't just moan and groan and gripe and complain and whine. You know, rather, if you're in that type of situation where there's nothing to give thanks for, then rather get into the Word, let faith be built up in your heart, and when you do pray, just give thanks that you've got breath in your lungs, even if it's only a little bit of breath. Your lungs are, you know, not functioning properly or whatever the case is. If you've really got nothing to give thanks for, the Bible says, Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul was writing that saying, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. He was in prison. His circumstances, he didn't have anything worth celebrating except, hey, God's awesome. You got nothing to celebrate or rejoice in except God, then you've got lots to celebrate and be rejoicing in. So just celebrate in that. Hey, it doesn't matter how much your life stinks. It's going to be over one day. It's the truth. Let me say it again. Doesn't matter how much your life stinks, it's going to die. You're going to die one day. And that's not a thing to be scared of. If you've got the Lord in your life, it's awesome. Then for eternity, you're going to be perfectly fine. The financial problem you have in 10,000 years' time, you won't remember it. You know, the health issues that you're facing now, you know, in 100 years' time, you're going to forget about it. You're never going to think about it again. Doesn't matter what you're facing now, with eternity in mind, if you just put it into perspective, it doesn't matter. Okay? And I'm not saying that God doesn't care about your situation. He does. And He wants to help you in your situation now. But sometimes in order to get out of a pit of griping and complaining and whining, we just need to have a little perspective. Right? See, here this is blessing you this evening. So, different types of prayer. I'm not going to go into all the different types of prayer, but I really just want to show you the essence of prayer and that there's maybe just two major elements to it. There's the relationship with God, there's the fellowship with God, and then there is the kind of prayer where we would be dealing with situations or circumstances and things like that. Okay, now I'm going to talk about the relationship with God first, because I think that that's the primary purpose of prayer. But Luke 6:12 says, at that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Okay, so Jesus went off, and he spent all night talking to his dad. I don't know what he said, it's not recorded. But he spent the whole night praying to God. Now, some of you, you're catching up with an old friend, you know, they'll come over and you'll spend until 2, 3 in the morning just catching up, right? I don't do that anymore. 9 o'clock, we say we want to go to bed, you know. It was great to have you here. Would you leave? You know, or Martin will just get up and go, you know what, I'm going to bed. You guys carry on because we're tired. But the point is that it's relationship. And so relationship, if it's a good relationship, you don't have a time limit. You know, in our household, we don't say, hey, at 9 o'clock every morning, we're going to get together and talk. Have fellowship. Enjoy each other's company. And then it's like, it doesn't matter what's going on in the household, 9 o'clock comes, ding, come, let's sit. Okay, now we have to talk. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Oh, it's a nice weather today. You know, it's like, that's forced, right? It's got to be something natural. So that God's with you all the time. Talk to him all the time. Yes, make time to pray through certain things and into people's lives and all sorts of things like that. Pray all night if you want to. But the point is that it shouldn't be something which is religious and it shouldn't be out of obligation. You know, if you're feeling bad because you're not praying enough, the burden is off of you. Don't worry. God loves you. Talk to him as you go. It should be a thing of you wanting to talk to him more. You making time to pray because you want to, not because you feel, oh, I have to pray. I'm not praying enough. Okay? God deals with us according to his grace, not as we deserve. I think that when it comes to prayer, we need to realize that. Okay, prayer is conversation with God. Okay, it's talking to God. It's friendship with God. Okay, now when we're praying, especially when we're asking for something or whatever, but anything, we're asking for direction, not just stuff. We need to realize that we need to be in faith when we're talking to God. Obviously, we've got to believe that he is God, that he's listening, and that we're going to get what we're asking for and all that. We've got to have faith in the matter. But, and I think that that's a key element. Many Christians don't reign in life because, number one, they maybe don't pray. They're not talking to God. They're not getting instruction from their commander-in-chief. Or they don't understand anything about prayer. You know, so they may be just shooting their prayers in the wrong direction. Or they're just simply not praying in faith. Faith is important. James 1:6-8 says, but when you ask God, you must believe. You must ask with faith and not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down, tossed and driven by the wind. For such doubters are thinking two different things at the same time. They're double-minded. And they cannot decide about anything they do. They are unstable in all that they do. They should not expect that they will receive anything from the Lord. So you go, if you doubt, you go without. If you believe, you receive. Okay? If we doubt, we end up going without. This is what the scripture's saying. We've got to believe when we're approaching God. We've got to believe when we're praying, when we're asking. Okay? Matthew 6:5-7. In the New King James Version, it says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and they that they may be seen by many men. Okay, when we pray, we shouldn't be doing it for the audience of people. We should be doing it, you're praying to God, you talk to God. It's not about who's listening and all of that. It's about you and God. Okay? And it says hypocrites love to pray. A lot of the time, the people who really just love to pray are doing it for the wrong reasons. They're hypocritical, actually. They're not doing it because of relationship with God. They're doing it because, because your knees are worn out, the knee places on your pants, it's like you're just more holier than anyone else. You're just awesome. You know, and I believe it's good to pray and it's important to pray, and God will reveal things to you through prayer. But sometimes some people get onto this bandwagon with it where it becomes a very prideful issue. usually they have the title of intercessor. Where they want to come and then, you know, direct the church and give instruction. This is how you should be doing things, and you stop worship too soon, and you're doing this wrong, and this is what the Lord's saying, because they spend so much time in their prayer closet that they don't know actually what's going on outside, and they're not believing that anyone else is hearing from God. If you're in that place, you're wrong. God doesn't just speak to those who are stuck in their prayer closets. He speaks to me on the go sometimes. He often does. I mean, I can't remember the situation 100% now, but I was driving somewhere or doing something this week, and while I was driving somewhere, I remember now, I was driving somewhere, and I was just praying in tongues. It was to the men's camp. While I was driving to the men's camp, I was praying in tongues to prepare my heart for the men's camp, and while I'm driving, I just felt the Lord put a friend on my heart who's in ministry in another church, and while I was thinking about and praying in tongues, I felt a specific word. I cannot remember what the word was, but it was one of those specific ones where you either got it or you completely missed it. It wasn't like, hey, the Lord loves you and is so proud of you. It wasn't something like that. It was like really, really specific. And so I knew, you know, I can take a chance with this guy. You know, either it's wrong and he'll dismiss it, or it's right and it'll bless him. So I took a chance. I sent him a voice note, and he got back to me straight away and said, that was spot on. That was really just, I needed to hear that right now. It was directional. Praise God. That's awesome. You know, God wants to speak to you like that. Okay? It wasn't for the audience of anyone. It was just to bless someone. And it was, my heart was sensitive towards him. That's why he could speak something to me, and I wasn't even asking a question about that friend. He wasn't near my mind. God put him on my heart because I was sensitive towards him. There's situations that God wants to bring to your attention, and he maybe can't bring it to your attention because you're not sensitive towards him. Your heart isn't open enough towards him, because maybe you're not spending enough time just focusing on him and by praying and reading the word and just thinking about things, meditating on scripture. Okay, and it's not a works thing. It's not a legalism thing. This is a relationship thing. You want a better relationship with someone, you spend more time with them. You want to understand what they're saying to you, you've got to understand them. Right, husbands? I hear a few giggles. Where were we before I got on track? For they love to stand praying in the synagogues on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So they may be praying, God, you know, do this, God, do that, God, I need this or whatever. They're not going to get anything that they're asking for. They've got their reward, and it's the approval of men. It's the admiration of men saying, wow, that guy looks so holy, he's praying on the streets. Wow, you know, it's like that friend of mine I told you about last week who, you know, when we went to prayer meetings, he prayed like so passionately. I was looking at him going, wow, that's amazing. I still don't pray like that. Yet he didn't have a Bible and he wasn't reading the word. Never mind studying the word. So, you know, there's a huge disconnect there. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This isn't saying that you have to just pray in your bedroom. It's saying that it's talking about it being a private thing. It's fine to pray in public. But it's just saying that it's heart to heart. God wants your heart to connect with His heart. And so you've got to, it's a private issue in your heart. You can pray in public and God doesn't mind. It's okay. But your heart motivation has to be right. It's you and God. Okay? It's not praying for the audience of people. A lot of people do that. You're in a prayer meeting, you're praying, a life group or whatever, and some people will just pray these eloquent prayers, you know, just to try and impress people. And maybe if they're not trying to impress people, they're just trying to pray the right thing so that that people don't judge them for their wrong prayer. Right? And so it's a case of, I need to get this right, so let me think about it. And then they're not talking to God, they're talking to themselves in their head, trying to pray the right thing. That's sad. Just pray from your heart. Yes, you might pray the wrong thing, but hey, God doesn't mind. You'll straighten up as you grow and mature in Christ. Amen? Okay? God's a God of grace. If he gave you what you deserved, we'd all be a pile of ash here right now. It's true. Okay? Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Long prayers aren't better than short prayers. Just because you've got many words in your prayer doesn't make you more holy than someone else who just says, God, help. I don't know what to do. God, help me. That's a genuine heartfelt prayer if you're praying it and not cussing it. Right? If your heart is like, God, I need your help right now. I can't do this myself. That's prayer. That's a good prayer. Rather than just this long, I remember we were on our first mission trip to Zimbabwe. We were having a prayer meeting. And we didn't have much time because it was before the service. So I said to everyone, cowboy prayers. Must be like quick ones. We've got something to pray for. We don't have much time now, so quick ones. Pray, shoot your prayer and that's it. I don't want flowery. We don't have time for the flowers. You know, do that at home. It's fine. Pray that at prayer. God loves it. We don't have time for that right now. And so the one individual on the team was going for it, like, you know, like just this long, flowery, eloquent prayer. And I had to stop her and say, listen, you know, we don't have time for that right now. Please pray, continue your prayer at home, but we can't do that now. We don't have the time for it. Yes, maybe we should have the time for it, but maybe just while we're all doing short prayers, you pray your long prayer in your head. Which brings me to my next point. I mean, sometimes in prayer meetings, I've loved these scenarios. We're busy praying, and someone starts really soft. And someone else in the group will be like, sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up? I love that moment. Because then I button, I go, he's not speaking to you. Which is the truth. Sometimes we just praying because we want to listen to what each other's saying and other people to listen to what we're saying. But it's you and God. So who cares if you hear me or not? Obviously, if I'm standing up front here and I'm going to pray, I need to pray out loud. You know, because otherwise, I mean, it's maybe disrespectful to you if I'm just quiet here for a while. And you're like, well, what's this guy doing though? Is he having a, you know, the lights on, no one's home type moment? You don't have to pray. You're not praying for people. So, you know, don't feel obliged to pray. I mean, sometimes in prayer meetings, as a leader, you can kind of feel like, oh, I have to pray because, you know, I have to say something. I don't always pray. I don't feel like I always have to pray. Why? Because I'm not here to impress anyone. I'm really not. Some of you already figured that out. Anyway, the message version of that, oh, let me say this first before we get there. It says, do not use vain repetitions. You know, don't just say the same thing again and again and again and again. It's got to be from the heart. Now, if it's from the heart, okay, that's fine. But, you know, I've been in situations where I'm watching someone pray for another person. They're laying hands on them and they're just going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm like, well, what good is that doing? Rather pray in tongues in the Spirit. That'll accomplish something much more. You know, rather just give them a hug and leave them. But, you know, anyway, let's leave it there. The message version puts that same passage of Scripture. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production either. Isn't that beautiful? I love the fact that the Message Bible says what it's about to say because it means that if I don't have to say it. We're reading the Bible, and if you feel that this is speaking to you, you can get angry with the Message Bible. You don't have to get angry with Shane. So, no theatrical performances are necessary in prayer. All these people make a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Now, this is my moment. I'm a frustrated preacher. I don't get an opportunity to preach. So while we're praying, let me pray my sermon. Nobody like that yet, obviously. But there are people like this. They fit their sermonette into their prayer. Do you think that God sits in a box seat? You know, like in the theater or at the rugby or something in a suite, listening to your theatrical performance. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. In other words, be real. Be real. Be genuine. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. This is beautiful. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. That's one of the points of prayer. It takes the focus off of me, puts it onto God, and then because I'm focused on God, which means I'm focused on His grace, which means I'm not focused on me, myself and I, what starts to happen is His grace starts to flow. His empowering starts to flow. His blessing starts to flow. I start to experience things much easier if I'm focused on God than if I'm focused on myself. Okay? The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They don't understand what they're doing. It's like having a gun and not knowing what to do with it. And you're like, you know, I don't know what this, what does this do? Yeah, you don't understand anything. Okay, you got to understand what you're doing. Okay, they're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. That's not prayer. That's manipulation. I'm going to read that again. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. Nice and blunt. This is your Father you are dealing with. And He knows better than what you need. He knows better than what you need. So, I mean, it's pretty plain. It's pretty straightforward. It's a relationship. You're speaking to your Father. He knows your situation. He knows your needs. Yes, but you need to be real with Him. It's not kind of cleaning up your act now, okay? Yeah. Father, you're so awesome. And you're going through this technique. You're so awesome. Worship you. You're awesome. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this. You're amazing. God, I really have a big problem. Then the genuineness starts to come out. I have this huge problem. It's just so terrible. God, I don't know how you can't deal with this. And now you just start speaking your unbelief. You're not in faith. Oh God, this situation is very difficult. I don't know how you're going to manage this. But I thank you that in Jesus' name you can do this. That's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, that's what the James scripture was talking about, where, you know, if you're praying, pray in belief, pray in faith. Don't be like, oh God, this is such a terrible situation, and you're speaking all your unbelief, all your fear, all your doubt. Oh Lord, the doctor said I'm going to die, I don't want to die, God, please heal me. I thank you that I believe you're going to heal me. You just said, I believe I'm going to die, now I believe you're going to heal me. It's like, okay, which one should I believe now? You know, which one do you really want? And then you finished your prayer in the name of Jesus, amen. And you go and tell someone straight away how bad your situation is. And you continue to speak the unbelief. And you continue to speak doubt. And you continue to speak fear. I mean, listen to the whole Rain and Life series again, please. Get into the Word. Speak the Word. Pray the Word. Believe the Word. You'll start to live in victory. You'll start to experience freedom. Okay? It's talking to your Father. So that's really prayer's on one hand, just really relationship with God. But then there's another, I don't even like calling it prayer, but I don't know what else to call it. But a type of prayer where you're dealing maybe with a negative situation or circumstance. And it's not talking to God, it's talking to the problem. It's declaring your faith, it's using your authority, it's speaking into a situation. Most of us, if we've got a problem, it's, oh God, please help. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as you mature in Christ and you realize who you are in Christ, it needs to get a little bit better than that. Something else needs to come out. Okay, and I'll show you in a moment. The next scripture there. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus answered, have faith in God. Okay, so the foundation of our, this kind of prayer where we're dealing with negative situations with giants in our lives, with the mountains, like it's going to talk about, the foundation is our faith and reliance on God once again. Like the armor reveals that we need to rely on God. This type of prayer, or if we're wanting to deal with giants in our lives, it's got to be rooted and grounded in faith in God, trust in God, reliance on God. If you're struggling to have faith and believe in God, get into the Word. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Listen to more Word. Listen to more Scripture. Let it build you up and overflow out of you. Like we've said in the series, you know, fill yourself with so much Word that when the enemy squeezes you through challenging circumstances and difficult situations, the Word comes out of you. Not the F word, but the Word, okay? Fill yourself with so much Word that as soon as, you know, a challenge comes up, you go, with God, all things are possible. I'm not going to be moved by this. Okay, that's how we should respond to negative situations and negative circumstances. Have faith in God. That's the foundation. We're trusting and believing in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, go, be lifted up, fall into the sea, and if you have no doubts in your heart or your mind, and believe what you say will happen, God will do it for you. It will be done for you. It will happen. Okay, we'll get to verse 24 there in a moment. Now, what this is really saying is that we shouldn't be talking to God about our problems. Now, you can. If you want your situation dealt with, if you want some sympathy and you want encouragement, talk to God about your problem. Go for it. He doesn't mind. He really doesn't mind. Okay, I'm not being compassionateless or whatever the word is. What I want you to see is that if you want your problem dealt with, it's not God, please intervene. Even in Moses' day, it wasn't. I wish I had put that scripture on this in my notes too, but you can go and look at it. God, Moses has about 2.2 to 3 million Jews with him. They've just left Egypt. It wasn't just a few good men or something like that. It was 2 to 3 million people leaving Egypt, a mass exodus, and then they get to the Red Sea. And these people start moaning. 2 to 3 million people start moaning and griping and complaining and saying, Moses, what the heck are you doing here? Like, you've led us out into the wilderness to die. Like, what's going on here? What does Moses do? He stands there and he goes, now he's the fearless leader. And he stands there and he says, don't worry. God will sort the problem out. Then he turns to go and talk to God. And what does God say to him? Why are you moaning to me? I love that. I really, really love that. Why are you moaning to me? He says, take the staff that's in your hand and you go and divide the waters. He's saying, you've got the authority. You go and deal with it. Stop moaning to me. You go and sort your problem out. He had the staff, the stick in his hand, which was a symbol of his authority and of his leadership. And God told him, you go and use that and deal with the problem. Stop moaning to God about your problem and start dealing with your problem. That's what Jesus is saying here. Talk to your mountain. Tell it, problem, go. So the correct prayer, if you're wanting to deal with a problem, isn't a Heavenly Father, I'm just in such a mess, I don't know what to do. You can pray that and receive the encouragement, but let the word inspire you to get into action where it's like in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, I've got the authority to deal with this problem, and I just speak great grace over the situation. I declare that it's dealt with, it's sorted out, it has to be dealt with in Jesus' name. I declare your favor, I declare your grace, whatever, you know, if it's healing, I declare healing, if it's whatever. You just declare it and you speak it in the name of Jesus, amen. John 14:14 says, whatever you pray in my name, it's done. In the name of Jesus, amen, done. Then you don't go and talk about the problem and speak unbelief and fear and doubt and all of that stuff to abort your prayer, but then you stand in faith. Verse 24, so I tell you to believe that you have received the things, everything you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you. You will receive them. What that's basically saying is that when you pray, you've got to believe you've received it before you see it, and then you've got it. So when you pray and you're like, God, when you're praying and you're speaking to the mountain, you've got to believe it's dealt with. Before you even see it dealt with, you're like, it's dealt with. A great example, I can't remember the details of the situation and circumstance. This is probably why I should journal, hey? About 2 years ago, a challenging financial situation in the ministry. I can't remember what the problem was, and I don't know how much money we needed. But there was a huge shortfall. I think it might have been about 45,000 rand or something like that. So it was, you know, it's a lot of money. And I remember different people like panicking. I don't do that when it comes to finances. Okay, I've been in living like this for a while in ministry and everything, so you know it doesn't perturb me. Read the three chapters on finances and Rooted, and you know that comes straight from my heart. I live that. That's what I believe, and it's not easy sometimes to live it, but that's what I believe. You know, God's my provider. I look to Him. I'm not worried about finances. It'll sort out. And so anyway, we had a meeting, a staff meeting or some meeting, leaders meeting maybe. And I just said, you know what, let me just encourage us for a moment. And I got into the Word and I just spoke from Matthew 6 on trusting God for finances. And I was just trying to inspire everyone to believe God and to have faith. And as soon as because I was a bit irritated with all the negativity. Not everyone was negative, but there was maybe one or two were negative. And I didn't like that at all. And so then, as soon as I was done with my little teaching moment, I said, I'm going to pray. And then the meeting will be closed. And so then I prayed. I didn't give anyone a chance to speak because I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I didn't give anyone a chance to pray. I prayed. Because I knew that I had faith. I didn't know if who else had faith. I didn't want to take a risk that someone aborted my faith in the room. So what did I do? I prayed and I was like, in the name of Jesus, I declare favor. I declare grace over the situation. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you speak to partners. You speak to members of the church, that you move in those people's hearts, that they would be able to give to the ministry. And I thank you that they're going to give out of blessing. They're not going to give out of lack, but we're just going to experience tremendous breakthrough, and we're going to see a miracle in Jesus' name. I declare it's done. Close my Bible, meeting adjourned. Not interested in what you have to say about the situation. Left it there. The next day I came into the office and I had an email notification from someone in one of our congregations, not even in the Stellenbosch congregation, and we didn't tell anyone about the problem. I didn't put it on a Facebook status. I didn't tweet about it. I didn't send out an email about it. I don't do those things. And so this person gave their tithes for the year, the previous year, all of a sudden. They hadn't been giving the whole year, and they were like, I want to give, and I'm backing it for the last year. And I think it was 50 or 60,000 rand. Problem sorted out in one moment. That's awesome. The next day, another one came in for 30,000. God just showing off a little bit. God can sort out your problem. Speak your faith into the situation and it can get sorted out. Because you have faith in God, you're trusting and relying in Him, you can deal with your problem because you've got the God-given authority to deal with it. Ephesians 2:6 says that we have been raised up together and He has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's saying that you're seated above your problem. So you can look down at your problem and speak to it. It's not a big giant that you're looking up at it. You're looking down at it. It's not seated in heavenly places. If it's seated in heavenly places, you have got a problem. But it's not. You're seated in heavenly places. The heavenly place is a place of authority, which means that you've got the divine right to speak into the situation in faith and see things change. Okay? And this is, the position is by grace. There's no conditions that apply here. It's by grace that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not by your holiness and your perfect performance. If it was, none of us would be there. Okay? It's by grace. So speak to your problem, not to God. Say to the mountain, be removed. Okay? I think that that's a really important thing. And, you know, the first time, when I started getting a revelation of this, the first time I started exercising it, I exercised it when the swine flu came out. I don't know if you remember when that came out. Some people died from it even. And I had all the symptoms. I remember lying in bed, and I had the aching bones. I had the sweating. I had the fever. I had the shivers. I was shivering. I was lying under the blanket like this. And I don't know what all the other, I had a headache. I had all that stuff. And I mean, it was all the signs of swine flu. And I'm lying there in bed, and I'm going, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the shivering. I dealt with everything. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the this. And, you know, I was like dealing with it, and I was telling it to go. And you know what? Then at the end of it, I got out of bed in faith, and I was completely fine. Then I started getting calls from people who had symptoms as well. And so I took one or two guys with me, and we would go and visit them, and I would teach them on this scripture. And I'd say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you now. And I would speak to their problem, and they would experience complete healing. And then they would, you know, I would tell them, if you have the problem come back, you deal with it like that. Because you can do it. I don't have to do it for you. So I never got a call back, which was great. Another thing I just want to, I'll close off with is just how you can receive instruction and direction from the Lord through prayer. And once again, remember, prayer is sensitizing your heart towards God so that He can speak to you. And so just by relationship with Him, He can speak to you. You know, I had this once before we get into the scripture where I was driving. Did I share this the driving one? I was driving to class. Just pretend. I was driving to class, and when I was a student, first or second year in Cape Town, and I'm driving along the N1, and you know what I used to do with my Nokia 3210 was I would push the down button, and it would scroll through the names on the address book, and I'd play prayer roulette. It would stop on a name, and I'd pray in tongues for that person, and I'd trust for a scripture for them. I'm going to try and do that again. It's fun. And so then I would exercise and stir up the gift like that. And it landed on a friend of mine, and so I sent him a scripture, and then it landed on his girlfriend, funnily enough. And I was praying for her, and it was one of those moments where it was a bit too specific, but I sent it. The word I had was, don't do what you're about to do. Trust God, look for Him, wait for His guidance, don't rush into making this decision. Something like that. You've either hit it on the nail on the head or you've missed it there, right? I wasn't in ministry yet. I was a student in Cape Peninsula University of Technology. I wasn't a pastor in ministry like this. So this is, I'm saying that because you can do it too. So I'm praying through the list, and I get this list, and I give this word. He responded, thanks so much for the encouragement or whatever. She responded, I was just about to break up with him. I was like, I hope I haven't stopped the right breakup. She said to me, if I had known about the situation, I wouldn't have at all sent the message to her. Because she said to me, it's an interracial relationship. And she said, it's just been so difficult, and there's so much stress and strain and pressure from everyone that she had enough. And that really just came at the right time where she knows that the relationship is from God and she wants the relationship, but she's just going to continue to stand. They're married now and they have 3 kids. Loving life, enjoying everything. It's awesome. God wants to minister to people through you like that. And it can be not while you're in church. It can be while you're doing shopping and you're just praying in the Spirit, obviously not loudly so that everyone kind of goes, what's wrong with that person? But you're just like enjoying God, and God just puts someone on your heart and you have a word for them and you send it to them. I had that this week again, this past week, where someone I was in ministry with maybe 10 years ago, I was just on my heart and I was praying for him, and I felt that God say, the enemy is trying to attack him in the area of his calling. And so I sent him a message, and I just said, God just put on my heart, and I didn't have his number, so I had to find him on Facebook. I didn't want to type something, so I had to send him a voice note on Facebook, which is very complicated and only gives you a minute. So I was like, having to redo it to try and fit it in. And all it was God just wants you to know that He's called you, you're in the right place, the enemy's going to try and attack you, or is attacking you on trying to get your focus off of what you're doing. And that you're not called for this. Ignore him. And he messaged me back. He says, the enemy does that all the time to me. Thank you so much. That's really encouraging. You should be doing that too. I don't get any messages from you. No, I'm joking. Just a joke. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit wants to show you things to come, but your heart has to be sensitive towards it, towards Him. Acts 9, 10 to 12. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he came to, and to him the Lord came in a vision, or said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. That shows that he was sensitive to know that it was the Lord speaking to him, and he didn't go, ah, what's going on here? He knew God. You've got to know God if you want Him to speak to you. Okay, allow Him to speak to you. So, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. That's pretty specific. If we're sensitive enough to God, He can give you a specific address of where to go and a specific person's name, and it's just like, wow. You're walking in with the Spirit, and you're able to minister to someone like that. And in a vision, this man, heavenly music there, interlude. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. That's awesome. Acts 10, 1 to 5. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God. With all his household, he gave alms, which is talking about finances, generously to the people, to the poor. and prayed to God always. So this guy was a man of prayer. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision. An angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. So he was a little bit scared. And he said, what is it, Lord? But he responded in the right way. And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose name is Peter. Now he's giving him specific instructions to go to a specific place to a specific person. We should be sensitive to God like that. The next part of it, verse 19 to 20. While Peter, now this is who the guys are coming for Peter. And Peter's busy there spending time with God and he's having this vision. It's about the sheet with all the animals on. And it's basically saying, hey, you can eat anything now. You know, it's about the covenants and all of that. We won't get into that now. But Peter's there and he's having the vision. And the Spirit says to him, behold, three men are coming, are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. That's pretty specific. Now God wants to speak to him and say, hey, this is the company to send your CV to. Hey, this is where you need to go. Knock on this person's door. Hey, this is where I want you to move to. Hey, you know, this is what I want you to study if you're still deciding. Hey, I know you don't have a lot of time to study. These are the chapters to focus on. Eat according to your faith. What I mean by that is don't study just a few chapters and trust that God spoke to you and then it wasn't God. If you know it's God, go for it. If you don't go for it. Do everything. Okay? But the basics is just that, you know, prayer is a powerful weapon for us to be able to hear from God and to be able to encourage other people as well, because God speaks to us. He encourages and inspires us and then we can be a blessing to other people. And it's an important part for us to be reigning in life. We cannot reign in life without direction and communication from God. And then, you know, if we want to help other people reign in life and be encouraged and we want to flow in being an encouragement to other people, we've got to be hearing from God and knowing what should we be saying to other people. I think that, you know, if we were to all do this, this place would be completely different. We'd be the happiest place on earth. Not Disney World. Imagine that. People come and they know they're going to get a word from God, not from the pulpit, but from someone sitting in the chairs. That's awesome. I trust that you're encouraged to actually just go in and give a word. Now, during a worship, one of the things I felt in my heart, which is for a couple of people, I suppose if you preach on that, you got to exercise it, eh? Isaiah 59. Nope, not 59. There we go. Isaiah 54, verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate and the children of the married wife, says the Lord. And what I just felt with that was that there's many of you, it might not be physical children, it might just be speaking of situations, but there's barrenness in your life. In the sense of not being able to have a child, or you've got a vision or a destiny from God, and it's just not happening. Something's not, it's kind of like, there's a disconnect. It's not producing. You're trusting for something, and it's just not happening. There's a couple of you that I feel that this is for specifically, I'm not going to point you out now, but you know, you'll know if this is from God. If this is for you, then I want to ask you to stand now because I just want to pray for you. What this scripture is saying is be encouraged and start to rejoice. Sing. Rejoice because you're not barren anymore. You're going to see the fruitfulness of what you're trusting God for. The fruitfulness of what God has spoken to you. So if that's you, just stand up. You'll know if it's you. Is there an area where there's barrenness and you know, hey, I haven't seen something come to pass and I know that this should be happening and I just want to trust God and then it's your opportunity to stand. Now, the awesome thing with this is God knows your situation. I don't have to. You want to come and talk to me about it, you're welcome. Remember not to just speak negative. Just tell me the situation and we can pray. But I'm going to pray for you. And I really believe that this is a word from God for you for now and that you're going to see breakthrough in that situation. So I'll pray for you, and then I want you to go home and rejoice. I want you to go home, and this week, when you think about that situation where you haven't seen the promises of God manifesting in that area, speak life and not death. Declare what you want to see, not what you are seeing. Declare what God says about the situation. Speak His word, not what your situation is speaking. Okay? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The principle to how to deal with it is exactly the same. So, Father, I thank you for each person that is standing. You know the areas of barrenness which they have identified. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare the barrenness is over. I just declare a release of life into those situations where there has been lifelessness, where there has been no life. I speak a release right now of the fulfillment of those promises which you've given them and which they're holding on to. In the name of Jesus, I declare right now they are barren no more. I declare fruitfulness in your life. I declare increase in your life. In the name of Jesus, it is finished. It is done. Stop mourning. Stop crying about the situation and start rejoicing in the situation. Start giving thanks for the result. Start giving thanks for the promise. Start giving thanks and be in faith. Father, I thank you that you just minister right now by your Spirit to each person's heart, that they would start to see a turnaround in Jesus' name. Thank you that even this week, there's going to be significant things happening in these people's lives. And that next week, they'll come back with testimonies. Testimonies of how it's already turned around. In the name of Jesus. I believe in some situations, it's actually just a demonic thing. The enemy is just holding back. Or he's for some reason or the other just interfering. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible also says that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And so you're seated in heavenly places. So you need to maybe go home and laugh over the situation. Laugh over the attack. You can close your door. Nobody has to hear. But the devil needs to hear you just laughing at him because you see how big God is. You see how able God is. And you're like, devil, you don't stand a chance. You're not going to steal my joy. I'm not allowing you to interfere anymore. In Jesus' name, it's done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.